doing on this morning? Amen. There it goes. Amen. Bless the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Good morning to all in attendance, brothers and sisters in Christ, friends, family, acquaintances, colleagues, neighbors, and visitors. Amen. If you're visiting for the first time here at Central Church of Christ, I want you to know that it is an honor to have you visiting with us. And we hope and pray that something can be said on this morning that will bring you one step closer to who God called you to be. Amen. The saints here at Central Church of Christ believe in the Holy Bible, believe that the Holy Bible is the inspired word of God. Amen. And the vision here at the Central Church of Christ is to see the world as Jesus saw it, to love the world as Jesus loved it, and to serve the world as Jesus served it. Amen. I want to take this time at this very moment to thank all the brothers for leading in the worship service on this morning. I want to thank Brother John Pitt for the announcements. Thank Brother Robert for the hymns of praise, the beautiful hymns of praise on this morning. You didn't even know it. I was listening to that song all week before the throne of God above. I was listening to that all week. Amen. I also want to thank Brother Eric for reading the scripture into our hearing on this morning. Thank Brother Scott for the beautiful way in which he prepared our hearts and mind for communion, and also our Brother Daryl for the Shepherd's Prayer, the main prayer on this morning. And now, with gratitude and with all humility and boldness, by the grace of God, I am honored to share God's holy and divine word with you on this morning. Amen. Now, last week, Brother Rex Robinson Sr., he shared with us a powerful message that regarded the importance of keeping in memory the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He pointed out that the apostle Paul, and what he shared in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, and you can turn there with me. He pointed out that, again, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, he pointed out, "Therefore, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And he says, "For it," and he's when he's talking about it, he's referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just," meaning the righteous, "shall live by faith." Now, in essence, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, God calls for unity. God calls for oneness instead of uniformity. Amen. Brother Rex also highlighted why it's important to keep in memory the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he laid it out really, really well. Number one, for the new generation that is being raised up in the church. Number two, for the new people who may have never heard the gospel preached before ever in their lives. The gospel is what saves our souls. Amen. And last but not least, he touched on because of the church, recognizing that the church is always constantly under attacks. You may think it's just the family that's under attack, but it's also the church, amen, that is under attack with false doctrine and ideas that do not align with God's holy and divine word. Amen. Again, through the gospel, God calls for unity. He calls for oneness instead of uniformity. Amen. Amen. Rex also shared with us the dangers of those who try to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he reminded us that God, through his holy word, has a pattern that we all can follow. And that pattern is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And on that note, today's lesson is titled, "Go Ye Therefore, Time is Winding Down." Amen. Amen. And it's coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Now let's get right into the Word of God. And at the conclusion of today's lesson, my hope is that by the grace of God, we can all be able to fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives according to Scripture. Amen? Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Holy Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Now, the questions that I would like for everyone to consider on this morning is this. What does it mean to receive grace in vain? What does it mean to receive grace in vain? Also, when do I know I am ready? When do I know I'm ready? And last but not least, why should I go? Why me? Why should I go? Why me? Would you please stand once more for the reading of God's holy and divine word on this morning? Amen. Amen. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, it reads, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time acceptable, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now it is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You may be seated. May the Lord add a choice blessing to all who read and obey his holy and divine word. And we're going to go through this line by line, church family. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Now, the Apostle Paul, writing a second letter to the church of Corinth, is relaying a clear message to the congregation. He's relaying a clear message, and that message is a message of reconciliation and also a message of a restoration of relationships. Amen. He's touching on those two points. And at this time, people were actually questioning the authenticity of Paul's ministry. Amen. They were questioning the authenticity of Paul's ministry and Paul's apostleship. They didn't really consider him to be an apostle. The inspired writer Paul, he reassures them that he is not promoting himself. Amen. The inspired writer Paul, he reassures them that he is not self-serving. Amen. He is a servant of God. Amen. He's a servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul urges them to repent and demonstrate to them that he is operating in alignment with God's will through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, Paul suffers for the sake of Christ, and he understands that the things that he suffers, it actually pales in comparison. It pales into comparison to the suffering that Christ endured while he was here on earth physically. And the reference scripture for that is Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 19. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 19, just for your reference in the future. But watch this. It was God. It was God's grace through faith in Jesus that kept Paul. Amen. I'm going to say that again. It was God's grace through faith in Jesus that kept Paul. It was God's divine mercy that kept Paul. And Paul demonstrates courage and steadfast focus on Jesus Christ of Nazareth, finding strength to persevere even when there were countless moments of weakness. Amen. Now, if you would be able to turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, verses 16. The inspired writer Luke, he recounts that Jesus, as he told Saul of Tarsus, verse 16, when you have it, please say amen. Amen. This is Acts chapter 9, verses 16. I want you to see what Jesus is telling Saul of Tarsus. Now, we understand that Saul later is referred to as Paul. Jesus said, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Amen. As we observe the lesson text on this morning, "We then, as workers together with him," notice that the workers are working together with who? With him. Him being Jesus Christ, meaning he is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has a mission for each and every one of us. He has an assignment that requires your undivided attention. He has a plan and a vision far greater than the one that you or I are able to create. And the work is in support of his mission. Amen. The inspired writer Paul says, "Beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Paul says, "I beg, I plead with you." When you see that word beseech, it means I beg, I plead with you that you didn't receive the grace of God in vain. Now, the Greek word for grace is chartis, 5485, charis. It means a sense of divine favor bestowed. It means occasional delight in favorable regard. It means loving kindness and goodwill. Grace is unmerited favor. Amen. It's a gift that is freely given. Amen. Grace does not require perfection. You don't need to be perfect to receive the grace of God. We cannot purchase it or earn it. We do not deserve it. We are not entitled to it. Grace does not have an expiration date. Amen. Grace does not require refrigeration. Amen. Grace is ultimately God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen. Now, as we continue with the first question on this morning, what does it mean to receive the grace of God in vain? What does it mean to receive the grace of God in vain? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1, the Apostle Paul says, I beg and I plead with you that you didn't receive the grace of God in vain. The Greek word for vain is kenos, 27:56. And that word vain, it means empty. It means devoid of the truth. It means empty-handed. It means of no purpose. It means without a gift. When we read in vain, metaphorically speaking, it's talking about the endeavors, the labors, the acts in which result in nothing, in fruitlessness, without effect. As I was studying this, it made me think about, as you read in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, who was the wisest man on earth, him sharing that all is vanity. Amen. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So we can see here, just reading and continuing in the lesson text, Paul is pleading with the body of born-again believers in Corinth to receive God's grace with the utmost appreciation, to receive God's grace with the utmost gratitude, with the utmost love, remembering that as co-laborers, as co-workers with God, we must work together as one to align with God's purpose. Again, through the gospel, God calls for unity. God calls for oneness instead of uniformity. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 10, if you would be able to turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 10, the Apostle Paul says, when you have it, please say amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What Paul is explaining here is that there is a reason why he labored as hard as he did. Amen. He attributed it to the grace of God working within him. Amen. It's the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ that compels Paul to live out his faith with conviction and with commitment. Paul had faith. The grace of God through faith causes Paul to go and do what God called him to do. In other words, God doesn't want us to receive his grace and become passive in our faith and obedience towards him. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, if you would turn there with me. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. When you have it, please say amen. 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 That's it. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, it reads, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Our brother Scott, he was teaching on this morning Bible study and talking about the power of the tongue. And he referenced his brother being able to really train a horse. He was talking about just that process, how it's a long process in being able to train a horse. It takes time. It's a long process to do that. And when you're training a horse, that process is called meeking the horse. you meet the horse. And it does take a long process. And the Lord, through his word, actually meets us. Amen. Meets us on a day-to-day basis when we continue to lean on him. Again, God doesn't want us to receive his grace and become passive in our faith and obedience towards him. James chapter 4, verses 8. If you would turn there. James chapter 4, verse 8. When you have it, say amen, please. James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and he will do what? He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So when answering the question, what does it mean to receive the grace of God in vain? It simply means to receive the grace of God and to treat it as though it is not a gift. An example of receiving God's grace in vain is found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 through 22. Would you please turn there with me? Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 through 22. Amen. Amen. When you have it, please say amen. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 through 22, it reads, and this is, again, this is King Jesus speaking. He shares the explanation of the parable of the sower. Verses 20, it reads, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verses 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Let's dissect this, church family. Let's dissect this together. As we read verses 20, it says, but he who received the seed is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, on stony places. The stony places is referring to the heart condition, amen, the heart posture. This represents one of the four responses to God's word. Now, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it, accepts it with joy. Amen. Man, that was a good word. Man, that was good to my heart. Man, I loved it. I enjoyed it. Amen. Yet, verses 21, it says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Now, the root being spoken of here is found throughout Scripture. Amen. The root that he's referring to is found throughout Scripture. But if you turn with me to Revelation chapter 22, verses 16. Revelation chapter 22, verses 16. I just want to emphasize, and I'll grab my Bible, pull it out. Revelation chapter 22, verses 16. Amen. Where it's read, Jesus said, amen. Revelation 22, verse 16. I'll read the full verse. I wanted to highlight one component of it, but I'll read the full verse. It reads, I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Amen. I wanted to point out here that when we see the root being spoken of, the root that's being spoken of is actually Jesus Christ, amen. Jesus takes root in the heart of all those who believe in him and keep his commandments, amen. And it says, for when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Notice that the scripture is careful to say when. It says when, not if, but when, amen. When tribulation or persecution arise, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. This means that when hardships come, when persecution takes place, he's going to stumble. And the word stumble means, in context, to cause to sin. It's going from a place of obedience to a place of disobedience. I've said this before in previous sermons. You know, you're either in a storm, a storm is leaving, or a storm is coming. Amen. Amen. Now, verses 22, it says, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now, this is a pretty straightforward text as it highlights the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that takes center stage over the Word of God. And also, as we're looking at this together and reading it and digesting it, it's showing that God's Word has been doing something inside of us, inside of our heart. And as a result, that seed that was growing, I want you guys to catch that. The seed that was growing, it is choked up. Now, by a show of hands, have you ever asked God to help you to grow spiritually? That's pretty much everyone in the room. I see some half hands. That's okay. It's still hands up. Amen. I've asked it too, but when I look at this scripture, if you look at verses 22 with me, after reading this passage and seeing it, it made me realize that perhaps spiritual growth is not what I should be praying for. And you're probably looking at me like I'm crazy, right? Like, oh, why shouldn't I ask for spiritual growth? Because in verse 22, it reveals that there was growth that was happening that ended up being choked. Now, what if that prayer to God was one that asked God to prepare the soil of my heart and prepare the soil of my mind to be the best soil for God's word to take deep root and grow and produce fruit instead? Amen? It's more specific. Because it's just one thing to have the growth and to have that growth to be choked up. Amen? The seed hasn't changed. And it won't change. But the soil can be changed for the better. Amen? Amen. As we continue with the second question on this morning, it says, when do I know that I'm ready? When do I know that I'm ready? Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Do you have time this morning? Amen. Amen. Yes, you do. I see your smiling faces. Amen. Amen. When you have it, please say amen. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Amen. And it reads, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Now, 27, so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Verse 28, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Verses 31, and he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, don't miss it, church. Philip was originally one of the seven Spirit-filled men who had been chosen to assist with the distribution of food in Acts chapter 6. Amen. We see here that Philip is serving in multiple capacities as the Spirit of the Lord is actually leading him. And now, by the grace of God, after having a fruitful ministry in Samaria, Philip is being called to another place. Amen. He's being called to another place, the desert. Amen. Say it with me, church. The desert. The desert. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine for a second, church? Philip hearing, go and arise. Arise and go. Any man logically would think that it's foolish to leave a fruitful ministry and to go to the desert. Not me. Why there? Why go to Narnia? But Philip was not just any man. He was a man boldly directed by God. So what may be deemed foolish in the eyes of men, or in the perception of men, from God's perspective, from God's vantage point, it is wise to go to the desert because there is a greater purpose that is at stake. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord said, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip did. And Philip also heard the eunuch reading Isaiah and asked, do you understand what you are reading? The eunuch responded, how can I unless someone guides me, unless someone teaches me? Verses 32, the place in scripture which he reads is from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 through 8. And he says, He is led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 33, in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from earth. Verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Amen. Verses 36, now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Don't miss it, church. As Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, as we read in the scriptures together, Philip started in the book of Isaiah, amen, and all of the New Testament during this time, we recognize that it had not been revealed yet, amen. They're still in the Old Testament, amen. But watch this. The eunuch asked, of whom does the prophet Isaiah say this, of himself or of another man? Because during this time, some of the Jews of the day, they thought that the suffering servant being spoken of was in regards to the nation of Israel because of the suffering and the wars and the persecution and the tribulation. Some even thought that the suffering servant was Isaiah writing about himself. And there was also some who thought of the suffering servant as the Messiah, which it was, but they found it hard to accept because they didn't want to think of the Messiah, the Messiah as being someone who suffers. It's kind of like they had this hero complex of how the Messiah was supposed to be. They thought the Messiah was a hero on a white horse, coming to conquer and lead God's people to victory, not realizing that he was able to bring victory and be a hero without all the superficial stuff. Amen? Amen. But watch this. Philip, starting in the book of Isaiah, he preached Jesus, explained who he is and what he has done for us, and he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it led to Philip asking, as they went down the road, and I'll say the eunuch, excuse me, as they went down the road, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Don't miss it, church. Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he asked about being baptized in the desert. Of all places, amen. This lets me know that you can't teach Jesus and leave out baptism. Amen. You can't teach Jesus and leave out baptism. Amen. Completing the verse, Acts chapter 8, verses 37 through 40. It says, then Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now this is the confession being made. Verses 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Verses 39, now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Verses 40, but Philip was found in Athos, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea. When do I know that I'm ready? When do I know that I am ready? Well, you won't know if you rely solely on your carnal mind. Amen. But if we read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, it reminds us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen. Philip, as he went, as we just read together, he was found faithful. Right? He was found faithful when God called him to go to the desert. And I have to make sure I highlight this. He went to the desert for the one. For the one. For the one Ethiopian eunuch. Just one. Just one. What may seem insignificant in the eyes of man is essential in the eyes of God. You will know you are ready when the Spirit of the Lord says that you are, and not by your perception of the situation. As we continue through the final lesson text, for he saith, I have heard thee in time of acceptance, that in the day of salvation I'll secure thee Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The inspired writer Paul is quoting and applying Isaiah chapter 49, verses 8, encouraging them to have a sense of urgency. Amen. Paul is letting them know that as Christians, doing what is easy and what is comfortable can be detrimental. Amen. Paul is urging Christians in Corinthians to take action and to reconcile, be reconciled back to God the Father. Amen. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. There is no better time than right now. Amen. Now meaning no other way. John chapter 14, verse 6, King Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now meaning no opportunities wasted. Galatians chapter 6, verses 10, the Apostle Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Luke chapter 16, if you would turn with me, Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 31, we read about Lazarus and the rich man. Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 31, when you have it, please say amen. Verses 27, the rich man answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. Verses 28, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Verse 29, Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Verses 30, no, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Verse 31, he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. The greatest lie that the enemy has ever told is that we have more time. We have more time. We see that the rich man, he ran out of time, and he found himself in a place that he was not familiar with and begged Lazarus to send and ward his family. He was unaware of the torment and the pain of others, and he was unaware of his selfish ways even after death. The reason there is no better time than right now is because there is no repentance in the grave. Are you blessed with another day? Are you blessed with another day? Are you blessed with another day? Yes, you are. Amen. Are you blessed with more time? Are you blessed with more time? Yes, you are. So repent and ask for forgiveness and take advantage of now, before now becomes never forever. As we look to answer the final question, why should I go? Why me? Why should I go? Why me? Why not you? Paul says earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That word, reconciliation, means the act of getting two things to be compatible with one another. Amen. Amen. King Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Would you please turn there with me? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And when you have it, please say amen. Amen. King Jesus, he shares the Great Commission. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name into the process of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verses 20, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. The Great Commission was a command. It's not an opinion. It's not a suggestion. Amen. King Jesus says, go. King Jesus says, make. disciples. King Jesus says, baptize means to immerse in water. King Jesus says, teach. It means to explain how to do something. He also says to observe, and that word observe means to detect, to discover, to examine, to monitor, to pay close attention to study, to watch. I heard in Bible study on this morning to be vigilant. He's calling us to be all of these things. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ shows us that if we truly love him, we must be willing to give up the things that distract us. Jesus Christ shows us that if we truly love him, we must give up anything that might try to take the place of God. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. Jesus gave his life for you and for me. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the bright and morning star. Jesus is the root and the offspring of David. Jesus has instructed us to go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to observe. And as I close, remember that as co-laborers with God, we must work together in unity to, by faith, obey God's plan. Colossians chapter 3, verses 25, it reads, I'm going to start from verses 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Verse 25, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only begotten Son of God the Father, who died for our sins on a cross at Calvary, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose again on the third day, according to Scripture. That is the gospel truth. That is the good news. And by grace through faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ still saves today. Will you come forward and be washed in the precious blood of Jesus? If you are not a member of the Lord's body, you don't have to wait anymore. Get up and come. Come now. You don't have to try to clean yourself up before getting right with the Lord. Get up and come now. You don't have to have to journey in this life alone. Get up and come now. Now is the day of salvation. Come now. Now, if you are a member of the Lord's body and you have been dealing with the cares of the world and you would like for your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you or pray with you, we are here to lay all of the petitions and the requests at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is more than able. Amen. Where can I find the gospel in Scripture if I read it for myself? That can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. That's where the gospel can be found. Now, the steps that one must take to obey the gospel is here. In Romans chapter 10, verses 17, you first hear the word. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find in Acts chapter 8, verses 37, we read about Philip on this morning. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, that being the eunuch, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must repent. Acts chapter 17, verses 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now, command all men everywhere to repent. You must confess with your mouth and believe with your heart the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32, it reminds us that whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. And baptism, water baptism, full submersion, Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And be obedient unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verses 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now is the time. There's no other way. Now is the time. No opportunities wasted. May God bless and keep you all as we stand to sing the invitation song.